This evening of about 61 degrees, a north breeze around 5 miles per hour. Should be very pleasant. On Friday, another nice day, sunny with a high of around 83. Coming up at 4 o'clock, All Things Considered from NPR News. We have a busy hour. We're going to start with Judith Merriweather in the interview studio.
Joining me in the KRVS studios is Stephen Landry, who's the Managing Artistic Director of the Acadiana Repertory Theater, here to talk about their latest production called True Story by playwright E.M. Lewis. And as with many of their productions, this is a developmental production that runs September 8th through September 16th, and that will be at Cité des Arts for all of those performances. So, Stephen, I know you've been here often before talking about the mission of Acadiana Rep, but just to remind us of that, because it is you all do play such a unique part in the community of theater groups in our area. So just remind us of that mission.
Sure. Our mission is wholly dedicated to the development of new works. So we work with playwrights from around the country who have works that have been not been published and have been not produced very often. Most have not had a world premiere. So our job is to come in as a stepping stone for them before they might get a world premiere in a bigger market, where the playwright can still use our feedback, use the conversations that we have to tweak and shift the show to maybe help it along its journey. And our goal is never to be the final stop. It's always to be, a rest stop for the show to sort of continue to develop as it goes on to perhaps a longer life after us. So it's a lot of playwrights like us because we're not in one of the major markets, and we're in a very unique area of the country with different perspectives. So it allows them to see how somebody not in a market that's used to seeing theater 4, 5, 6 days a week, somebody who is just a casual theater goer may react to their show a little bit more of a picture of John Q. Public. So we value the input that we get to give, and playwrights we have learned value these waypoints along the way.
So you all occupy a very special creative part in American theater.
We try to. Mm-hmm. We try to. I mean, we think that we're doing a service. We hope we're doing a service. But in the end, we feel like we are as lucky as if not more lucky than anyone else because we get to work with these wonderful writers and their new shows.
Well, let's talk about this writer, E.M. Lewis.
Yes.
And her play, True Story, again, which you all are performing in Lafayette. Tell us about E.M. Lewis.
So E.M. is, she's a wonderful playwright. She is such a wonderful playwright that separately, our reading committee last season, when I got to a group of 24 plays that I was going to narrow down to the final 12, three of those 24 plays were by her. And no one realized that we normally don't try to repeat, but somehow or another, three of her plays had made it in, and we were going to pick one of them regardless for the season because we loved all of these shows.
What was it about her writing or her plays that you would have picked three of them?
Each separate person. She has a way with dialogue, and this is something that I am always fascinated with. There is not a single wasted word. There is not a single wasted breath or moment. Everything bears fruit. And what I find so fascinating about her writing is that a lot of playwrights, and this is not a good or bad thing, have a very specific style. You know when you're reading a playwright. All of her shows are vastly different. And so it's this fascinating study in how you can pull different ideas from different parts of your life and experience that might sound completely different than something else. True Story happened to fit more into the programming that we were doing for the rest of the season, in sort of the arc that we wanted to go with this season. And so this is the one we settled upon. And this is one of those shows that the end just shocked me, and any show that's going to leave me speechless and standing up after I finish reading it is a show that I want to produce. So that's what it came down to.
Okay, well, before we talk about some of those details, what is the arc that you're talking about? How does it fit into this arc?
Well, first of all, we wanted this season to sort of start following the seasons themselves. You know, the spring and summer want a little lighter. You know, you, if you're going to the theater in the spring, everything's fresh, everything's new. You want something to laugh at. You want something to just relax and have a good time with. This summer, you know, same sort of thing. You don't want to work too hard in the summer, especially down here. It's hot. You're not looking to go into a theater and be depressed. And then as you start getting into the fall, you can start moving into those dramas and those things that you might not have wanted to hear earlier in the season until you get to the winter. And then, you know, I find that we are at our best when we program a season knowing that people will receive things differently as the year goes on.
That's an interesting pairing, plays well, and the season.
It is, but you know, it's something, it is not me that thought of it. I mean, I have certainly been given that advice. That was something the late Walter Brown and I talked about a lot, you know, as I was getting started, that was part of his advice was pay attention to what people are going to see at different times of year.
Mm-hmm. How they're feeling.
Yeah,
physically,
sure,
mentally.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm. So true story.
Uh-huh.
And that's not an uncommon trope, this idea of searching behind the surface in a play that creates all kinds of tensions and drama.
Right.
How does this one play out? What's the basic outline of?
As she describes it, it's a postmodern thriller, which was another thing that excited us. Not too many playwrights are writing psychological thrillers. So the basic story is that a sort of berate mystery novel writer, Hal Walker, is recently lost his wife. And he is assigned by his editor to be a ghostwriter for an acquitted murderer who wants to write his story. And Hal, of course, has some reservations because this guy, he was acquitted, but, you know, the evidence seems to be stacking against him. But Hal goes to this home. And Hal spends 3 days in this home and interviewing this murderer. And a lot of things happen. And within the show, timelines start to get skewed. We go backwards in time. We go forwards in time. And it becomes this sort of situation where you start to question everything you've learned. In the first 20 to 30 minutes of the play, as an audience member, you start to question everything that's been laid out in front of you. So it's fast. It's 90 minutes. There are no scene changes. The lights will never go off. So once you sit down, buckle in, you know, be open to these shifts in time and these characters sort of bursting in and out of scenes where they may or may not belong. It all facilitates the full story. But it's written very much like a movie script. Mm-hmm. She has a knack for, I can picture a lot of what would happen if I was watching this on Netflix or if I was watching this on one of the networks. So it's a fast show with a talented group of people making it come to life.
Well, tell us about that talented group of people. Who are the actors?
We're lucky. We have four of our company members. Rick Manuel is playing Hal, the ghostwriter. Garland Terrio is playing Donnie, who is the acquitted murderer. Mm-hmm. Erica Jour, who is one of our board members, is playing the detective Hayden Quinn. And then Gabe Ortego, another one of our board members and company members, is playing Hal's editor, Brett. And then newcomer to our stage, Carlin Sakani Matthews, is playing Donnie's daughter, Miriam, his 15-year-old daughter. So small cast, intimate cast, familiar faces for the most part, but just a super talented group that I'm lucky to direct them. It makes my job very easy. So.
All right. Well, if you are just tuning in, my guest is Stephen Landry, who's the Managing Artistic Director for the Acadiana Repertory Theater and also the director of E.M. Lewis's True Story. They are doing a developmental production, as they often do. It opens September 8th and runs through September 16th at Cité des Arts. How many performances altogether?
Six
performances. Mm-hmm. And what's the best place to go for information? Website, Facebook
website,
page?
Website, yeah, acadianarep.org. And it'll have links to purchase tickets there. It'll have all the information about the show, cast, pictures, And then, of course, you can also go to Cité's website, citedesarts.org, and purchase your tickets directly through there. And we do pop up on Facebook and Twitter, all the normal haunts for our arts groups these days.
So great way to start off the season, I guess. You've paired it perfectly with the season of September. But tell us just a bit more about the ARC.
Final show in November is a show called A Plague of Frogs. And it is a very dark supernatural show, which you know, as the days get shorter and things get colder, it's a great time to check out a little of the otherworldly. And that's our final show for the season. So we started with a big uproarious comedy in Taste, moved through Windy Unwritten, A True Life, into a psychological thriller, and we'll end with a pretty haunting supernatural show at the end of the season. So, you know, that's been the arc of 2017, our fifth full season. So we're and we've already started to read and select from our 600 submissions for next season, which will open up next February.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing from you all for your final play for this season, and then, of course, what you all choose for the next season. If you've just tuned in, my guest, Stephen Landry, is the Managing Artistic Director for ART, Acadiana Repertory Theater. He is directing E.M. Lewis's True Stories at Cité des Arts. For more information, Facebook, website, and all the other social media. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Thank you, Judith.